I really do wish people wouldn't read all of that bio. It does appear that I can't hold a job. But thank you. Thank you for the introduction. I greatly appreciate it. And I want to thank all of you for being here this evening for this celebration of Agricultural Day. It is very important to all of us in this room, as well as to all of those consumers out there for all of the great work that you do. It is, in fact, a pleasure to be here this evening and be invited to speak. But as Orion pointed out, we're going to try to keep this on schedule for the radio, so I will try to be brief. But before I get started, and I don't want to steal your thunder, Teresa, but I read what was in the brochure there, or the program, and that was truly an outstanding job. In fact, there's parts of it there that I think you may have been at one of my meetings and heard me comment on about the number of people that we have to feed and the percentage that we're going to have to increase food production. The one addition that I would ask you to make is in the last paragraph on the first page, where we talk about the environmental benefits as well as the yield increases for biotechnology. Just add that there's also the potential for great human health benefits because of biotechnology. That's the part that many of us miss. So that, but wonderful job, and I applaud you for a great effort. I am the Undersecretary for the Farm and Foreign Agricultural Service, which oversees three agencies here at USDA. The Farm Service Agency, which many of you are familiar with, which delivers our Farm Bill programs. The Risk Management Agency, what delivers the crop insurance program, insures approximately $110 billion worth of crops each and every year. And the one that most people aren't that familiar with, which is the Foreign Agricultural Service, which helps facilitate our trade, but also does many outstanding programs, such as Cochrane, Borlaug, and some food assistance programs like the McGovern Dole program, which feeds hungry women and children throughout the world. It's an agency that I personally take a great deal of pride. You know, as many of you know, on February 7th, we reached the one-year milestone, the anniversary of the signing of the 2014 Farm Bill by President Obama. For the last month and a half, USDA, we've been busy highlighting the provisions that we have implemented over the past year. We take a great deal of pride in the fact that we believe we have been able to implement this farm bill in record time and have done it, I think, to the liking of many of our producers, as well as hopefully the members of Congress who drafted the farm bill. Implementing the safety net for the farm families, such as resuming the livestock disaster assistance programs, which have been extremely important. Many of our livestock producers have suffered devastating losses to their pasture and forage crops since the provision expired in 2011. So we've been able to help these producers recover some of the additional costs because of extreme drought in many parts of the United States. We've also been able to help those producers that have lost livestock due to extremes in weather conditions, such as the dairy or the beef producers in South Dakota who lost approximately 50,000 head of beef cattle a year ago last October in the Atlas blizzard. We've been able to provide the funding through the Farm Bill to help them recover and start rebuilding those herds so that they can continue in the industry that they really and truly love and appreciate and hopefully build it for the next generation. We've also been able to implement, I think, a very meaningful dairy program, the margin protection program for dairy producers, something that our dairy industry has strived strived for and needed for quite some time. Many of you are familiar with the devastating losses in 2009 when we saw a total collapse in the pricing structure from the dairy industry. We saw milk go from $18 a hundred down to many parts of the United States to $12 a hundred. And if you look at the state of California, milk there went down to $9 a hundred. Unfortunately, we lost many of our dairy producers because of that pricing collapse. We believe that this margin protection program will help stabilize our industry, help those recover when we have these tremendous price fluctuations, and again, allow that next generation into the industry. We've also been expanding markets both domestically and internationally. In fact, I just returned Sunday evening late from a trip. I started my trip in Hong Kong, then we did a trade mission in Malaysia and the Philippines, where I was accompanied by six state departments of agriculture. I was accompanied by Greg Eyeball, the Director of Agriculture for Nebraska, Commissioner Doug Goring from North Dakota, and also Secretary Bill Northey from the state of Iowa. I had representatives from the marketing department from Virginia, Texas, and Idaho also accompany me, as well as 21 U.S. businesses. Now, most of these businesses that accompany me on these trade missions are small businesses. Some are minority-owned. These businesses would not have the opportunity to do international trade if we weren't able to put these trade missions together, because it would be, number one, cost prohibitive, and number two, they wouldn't have the ability to make the contacts that we can make for them and set up the business meetings. So it's again, it's very important that we continue to do the trade missions. Here's a number for you. For every dollar that we spend in marketing, international marketing programs, there's a $35 return on investment. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I would love to be able to get that kind of return on investment. And I know I've been farming since, we can say the beginning of time, and I don't think that I've ever had a return on my investment such as that. So it's important that we keep these very important trade missions and marketing programs going. Again, the successes, I had one young lady tell me she'd been trying to set up a meeting with a company, had no success whatsoever, accompanied us on the meeting. The meeting was set up with a business that she wanted, and they put together a deal. Another young lady told me that within the next 2.5 months that she expects to do $2.5 million because of that trade mission. So again, we think it's very important that we continue to receive the funding and do the trade missions. Investing in rural businesses and infrastructure as well as home and abroad is extremely important, and strengthening our conservation efforts in rural forest fields and streams is also very important, and there's so much more that we have been able to do. When you look at what we have done for our conservation efforts, 2015 doesn't just mark the one-year anniversary of the implementation of the Farm Bill, but it also marks the 30th anniversary of what I believe is one of the most important programs that we have here at agriculture, and that's the Conservation Reserve Program. As we were just talking here at the table earlier this evening, you know, as farmers, we have lost our ability to communicate our importance and the role that we play in conservation. We are the original conservationist. We have been doing things without being told or forced to since the beginning of time. We have been protecting the environment because we have to. If you're going to continue to grow a crop, if you're going to continue to produce livestock, we all know that you have to take care of those natural resources. CRP was enacted just a few days before Christmas back in the 1985 Farm Bill. And by the time of its first enrollment period, the following March, we had enrolled 750,000 acres. Today, the Conservation Reserve Program is involved and strengthened beyond its original expectations and now functions as a sophisticated water and soil conservation program, spurring not just significant wildlife benefits, but also economic development in rural areas for tourism, for hunting, as well as fishing. CRP has helped flip the script of the past few decades where criticism was directed towards rural America and its soil practices to now today. Farmers are a leading source of soil, water, and wetlands and wildlife restoration. You know, since we started this program over 30 years ago, we've been able to protect 200,000 miles of rivers and streams. We've been able to protect 8 billion tons of topsoil from erosion. And each and every year, we sequester 50 million tons of harmful gases. CRP is successful because it acknowledges that there's no solitary monopoly on expertise, advice, or skills in the federal sector, but that these talents can be also found among the private and nonprofit partners, non-governmental partners, through a framework of collaborative partnerships. In fact, the same thing can be said of the 2014 Farm Bill, where collaboration and appreciation that there's no solitary monopoly or viewpoint that resulted in the legislation becoming one of the very few comprehensive agreements that made it through Congress in the last few years. Maybe there's a lesson to be learned here in Congress through that 2014 Farm Bill, and maybe that lesson should go deeper than just a single piece of legislation. Because isn't that precisely the sort of cooperation and the approach towards mutual goals with respect to acknowledgement of differences that is embodied in the history of American agriculture? It always made rural America work because, in my view, agriculture has never, ever succeeded without the spirit of consensus and community. The very roots of our nation's farming and ranching heritage are ingrained in the habits and the ethics of our immigrant ancestors. The earliest pioneers, our farmers, our ranchers, where cooperation and teamwork were the very essence of survival in the vast stretches of America's landscape. I bet you would agree that the spirit of rural America that motivated you to choose a career that you have today is rooted in rural America. In fact, the same spirit exists in international as well as our rural communities. I saw it during my trip in Asia, where we're working to build relationships and agreements so that we can learn more about what others in the world need and how we can cooperate and build a peaceful future. You know, one of the things that I do when I travel, and it's a great opportunity, is that the programs that we have in the Foreign Agricultural Service that help us teach others, the two most important, the Cochrane Program, where we take officials from government and private sector and we bring them here to the United States to show them how we do things, why we do things, how not only we protect our consumers, but how we protect our trading partners. The Borlaug Program, where we bring scientists and researchers from other countries here to the United States to work with our scientists and researchers to help them solve problems when they go home. On this trip, I met a young lady. And because I meet with the Cochrane Fellows and Borlaug Fellows, that's one of my requests when I visit the countries. She was very modest, and she was telling me that she participated in the program, and, you know, it was a biotech program, and, you know, it was very successful, and she was very pleased that she had the opportunity to do what she did here. What she didn't tell me that she was just written up in a magazine as being one of the top 100 movers and shakers in biotechnology. She's gone back to her country to do research on diseases, on products that they export to other countries, so that their producers will be able to continue producing those products and exporting them. That's just one of many examples of what happens. I visited Vietnam a few years ago. The head of one of the largest dairy plants in the United States was one of our Cochrane fellows. I met another young lady who, after she left here, she went back and started her own business. She now employs 100 people and has a multi-million dollar business. I met business people who came here to learn about cold storage so that they could go back and build industries, build supermarkets, build the infrastructure that they needed, not just to supply their consumers with the very best products that they possibly could, that were safe, but that also would allow them to do trade here in the United States. And when I talk about trade, we just had the biggest year in trade in the history of the United States. $152.5 billion in agricultural trade. We've just experienced in this country the biggest 6 years in agricultural trade in the history of the nation. The biggest 6 years. If we want that to continue, let's make no mistake about it. 2015 is a critical year for agriculture and agricultural trade. We need Congress to pass trade promotion authority, to give President Obama the same authority that every president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt has had, so that we can bring home the trade agreement that we're currently working on, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. 40%, those 12 countries in the TPP represent 40% of the world's GDP. Now think about the trade opportunities for American agriculture there. Think about the growth. Those countries in the TPP are experiencing some of the fastest growth, not only in their incomes, but in their middle class to be found anywhere in the world. 2015 is a very important year for American agriculture and for trade. Rural America would never have gotten as far as it has today if it was motivated by inflaming relationships rather than building on them. And I think that's another message that we too can learn here in Washington. We need to find a way to build relationships, not tear them down. We need to find a way to work together for the good of this country. For more than 40 years, we've celebrated National Agriculture Day as a time to pause and honor our American farmers and ranchers and their families. We're here today to thank them and everyone who plays a role in producing food, fiber, and fuel upon which not only our country, but the world depends. Each and every one of you in this room in some fashion has contributed to the strength of American agriculture. Whether you work with USDA directly, whether you're a farming family or rancher or in the agricultural sector, we're all working together to build not just a future for us, but a future for a young lady and a young man who want to farm, who want to live the life and the style that many of us have on a farm or a ranch. Yeah, when Orion was given my bio, he left out the most important part, the part that I'm most proud of, and that's being an American farmer. So I want to thank you, and I want to salute each and every one of you for all of your efforts and for keeping the spirit of American agriculture alive and well. I believe we have a bright future. And if we can work together, and if we can bring this city together, there's nothing that we can't do. Thank you for being here, ladies and gentlemen, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity.